It's 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. I'm Derek Gilbert. Election Day, midterm elections here in these United States. And topic number 5 today, not surprisingly, no new drilling. A campaign promise from President Biden as he was campaigning Sunday night for New York Governor Kathy Hochul, a Democrat who's surprisingly running a very tight race against Republican challenger Lee Zeldin. New York has been pretty reliably Democrat, at least at the state level, for years. This is indicative of what is going on across the country right now, as Republicans trending better in the polls here in recent weeks seem to have the momentum coming into the election today. President Biden going off script, saying there will be no more drilling under his watch in response to somebody at the crowd at the rally with Governor Hochul. This came after Biden wrapped up his remarks, which was intended to boost her chances against Representative Lee Zeldin. No new drilling? I just have to marvel that this even escaped his lips. I mean, we're seeing gasoline prices that are sharply higher since President Biden took office. It's something that affects all of us, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative alike. It was $2.31 on average, according to AAA, when he took office. Now $3.80 a gallon. That can't be a winning campaign strategy. Biden has approved fewer leases for exploration and drilling during his term in office than any other president at this point in their terms in office in history. And he's managed to drive the Saudis, leaders of OPEC Plus, into the orbit of China and Russia. So Russian oil, Saudi oil off the table, no new drilling here in the United States. The Keystone XL pipeline, which would have brought oil from Canada into the United States, also canceled. Winning political strategy? I mean, this is so crazy. It looks like a deliberate attempt to kneecap the middle class here in the United States. I know that that's crazy conservative conspiracy talk. Hashtag Great Reset. Topic number 4. Disappearing jobs. Bureau of Labor Statistics released its monthly jobs report Friday. On the surface, the numbers look good. They reported non-farm payroll employment increasing by 261,000 in October, although the unemployment rate did rise to 3.7%. Now, that number seems low, given what you can see with your eyes around you. It's probably lower than what the Federal Reserve Bank hoped, as they've been pushing up its interest rate, trying to tap the brakes on the economy to bring inflation under control. But a closer look at these numbers reveals important details. They don't want you looking too close. Just focus on that number, 3.7%. No, if the number included the number of Americans, the millions of Americans who've just dropped out of the job market altogether in frustration and discouraged over the past few years, that number would be much, much higher. A good place to look for actual numbers is a website, shadowstats.com, shadowstats.com, where John Williams there has been putting out numbers for inflation and unemployment based on the way those figures used to be calculated before the federal government started jiggering the numbers for political purposes. The real unemployment rate, really closer to 25%. 25%, not 3.7. Actual inflation rate running right now at about 17%, which is about double the actual official number that's put out by the BLS. Payroll numbers are up, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, but the number of full-time jobs is down. And in fact, you can see not a difference, not just in those numbers, but also in the numbers of people working based on the payroll report and the household survey. When they survey households to ask how many people are actually working, somewhere around March, those two numbers diverged. They tracked very closely previous to March. They have diverged. Expect those numbers to begin closing, that gap to close again, oh, probably starting tomorrow, the day after the election. What really is going on here? How is it possible that inflation can still be low and yet the number of full-time jobs is down, even though the number of jobs are up at yet full-time? It's like my father used to say, figures don't lie, but liars can figure. The number of full-time jobs has dropped since May, down about 572,000, while payroll numbers are up because people who can work are, many of them, taking second jobs to try to make ends meet. with inflation running at a real rate of 17% for a lot of people. That's the only way to get by. Don't watch the official unemployment rate. Watch employment levels. And due to expected layoffs in the tech and finance sectors coming very, very soon, probably beginning tomorrow, we'll see those employment numbers begin to decline starting with next month's report. Besides Elon Musk firing half of Twitter's staff, we now get word that, according to the Wall Street Journal, Facebook is planning wide-scale layoffs this week. Topic number three, those meddling Russians. Influential Russian businessman Yevgeny Prigozhin, who is linked to Vladimir Putin, faced sanctions from the United States and other European and European countries, admitted last week to interfering in U.S. elections. Quoting now, "Gentlemen, we interfered, we are interfering, and we will interfere," end quote. This was in response to a question on Bloomberg, or commenting on a Bloomberg report, rather, that Russia was interfering in the midterm elections here in the U.S., Prigozhin saying, yeah, we do that. to which educated political observers would say, duh. Yeah, I know that's not the high-level intellectual type of commentary you've come to expect from this program, but come on. This is what governments do to other governments. Russia meddling in U.S. midterm elections? Of course they are, or trying to. And the United States is trying to interfere in Russian elections and Ukrainian elections. I mean, the reason Vladimir Zelensky is in office and his predecessor, Petro Poroshenko, before him is because of meddling from the United States State Department. We basically backed a coup that ran the Russian-backed president out of Russia and put Poroshenko in office. This is what governments do one to another. We shouldn't clutch our pearls and act shocked when somebody actually admits, yeah, this is what we're doing. We got a long history in this country, here in the United States, in meddling in the political affairs of other nations. So let's not get ourselves too upset about this. In September, by the way, Prigozhin confirmed that he was the founder of the Wagner mercenary group, whose members have been at the forefront of Russia's efforts in Ukraine, also reportedly active in Syria, Libya, Mali, and the Central African Republic. Prigozhin's announcement may be an indication that he's seeking more of a political role inside Russia, perhaps a someday successor to Vladimir Putin. Topic number two, what's right? Well, here in the United States, we seem a bit confused on how we can determine what is right and what is wrong. A new study by Arizona Christian University released last week reveals that less than a third of Americans believe that the Bible should be the foundation for determining what is morally right and wrong. Study led by George Barna, formerly the Barna Research Group. He heads up the values, or rather the Cultural Research Center, I should say. This is their America Values Study at Arizona Christian University. Asked respondents for their thoughts on traditional moral values and found that 42% of American adults say that what you feel in your heart should be the ultimate determinant of what is right and what is wrong. The problem, of course, is that what's in your heart may not agree with what's in my heart, and that may not agree with what's in the rest of the country's heart. That way lies chaos. I mean, to be blunt, in Adolf Hitler's heart, what he was doing was morally right. When you depend on what's here to determine right and wrong, you know, well, we read about that in the Bible over and over again, as the Israelites, every man did what was right in his own eyes, and what kind of trouble that led to. 29% said majority rule should be the desired method of determining what's right and wrong. Just 29% said principles laid out in the Bible should determine the understanding of right and wrong in the United States. George Barna, again, the director of research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University, said 3/4 of Americans maintain that people are basically good. Less than half believe in God, or that the Bible is God's word, that it is a true, relevant word for humanity, and that Americans have thus become comfortable with the idea of being the arbiters of morality. We are, as the ancient Israelites, every man doing what is right in his own eyes. And that explains a lot about our culture today. We as Christians, we need to be responsible for training up our children in the way they should go. That's on us. And the Bible is and should be the ultimate arbiter of right and wrong. Coming up, National Park Service has a warning, stop licking toads. I'll explain why next on 5 and 10. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. This is more literal than we've been taught. This is a literal geographic location connected to the ancient cult of the dead, the supernatural entities who deceived our distant ancestors into venerating what they thought were their ancestors, but which were in fact the spirits of the giants, the Nephilim, destroyed in the flood of Noah. Most of us in church assume that if this was really important for us to understand, it would have been taught to us in church at some point. I remind you, again, in the early church, the first 400 years after the resurrection, this was taught in church. It only began to change in the 4th and 5th centuries. And now, again, we are in the minority here. But we're not wrong. Item number one today, drop the toad and back slowly away. This is a trail cam photo released by the National Park Service of the Sonoran toad, the Sonoran desert toad, that is. Their eyes do kind of glow in the dark. That's not an enhanced photo. It's staring right into your soul. The National Park Service warning in a Facebook post last week that this toad is poisonous, can cause hallucinations and powerful psychoactive reactions, powerful enough that dogs that grab these toads in their mouths can actually die from the poison. Officials spotted the toad with a black and white sensor camera at the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument in Arizona. It's about a 7-inch long toad, but again, National Park Service, looking out for your best interests, warning, for goodness sake, do not lick the toad. Words of wisdom. Skywatch TV's Defender Conference, Exposing the Darkness, is available now. It is on right now, which means if you sign up today, you get instant access in full HD to 24 presentations from cutting-edge speakers. Really enjoying some of these presentations. Dr. Judd Burton explaining the importance of Caesarea Philippi, or the Grotto of Pan at the base of Mount Hermon. Tom Horn on the problem of evil in the world today, the angel of death and the problem of evil. Pastor Carl Gallups, Messianic Rabbi Zev Porat, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, Avi Lipkin, Aaron Lipkin, Mondo de la Vega, many others. The complete list of speakers is posted at Skywatch TV's website for the conference, defenderconference.com. That's defenderconference.com. And when you register, you get access through February 4th, and access to all 6 feature-length documentary films from Skywatch Films. That's a free added bonus. Content, absolutely cutting edge. Take advantage of this offer through February 4th, but sign up today and begin streaming these videos on your schedule right now, defenderconference.com. This week in Skywatch TV, we tell you how you can make this a Christmas to remember, an unforgettable Christmas at Whispering Ponies Ranch. They're putting together, and they've been working on this all through this summer, a Western village for the children in foster care brought by our partners at Royal Family Kids to the camps each summer. And they're working on putting together what looks like a train that will take the children through Pony Gulch. It is an amazing thing, and it's intended to give these children a life-changing experience. You can be part of making this a reality. Tom and Nita Horn explain on this week's Skywatch TV broadcast. You'll find the program, the over-the-air schedule, that is, posted at skywatchtv.com/channels. You can watch the program right at the website or on Roku or Apple TV right now. If you've got a set-top box, add the Skywatch TV channel to that box and watch the program on your schedule, or download the program to your smartphone or tablet with the free Skywatch TV mobile app. It is available for iOS, Android, and Amazon Kindle Fire phones and tablets. Get you all of our video content, important news updates, and more. And we've got links to the app stores. So you can find the one that's right for your device at skywatchtv.com. You'll find the link in the top menu bar. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.